Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. This is part two of a discussion, Boys Don't Cry, about being judgmental and critical. It's getting heated in here, and I think heated's a really bad trait in a person. I'm joined by Olalabi and Damon Bamra. Right, so I want to move on to criticism, because this is a whole different fucking ball game, and how we respond to criticism. Now, let's put aside negative, toxic, bullying man or woman. We're not talking about that criticism. We're talking about bog standard criticism that you probably is almost on the money. I know this is a ridiculous thought experiment, but let's just say it is. How do you, Damon? You seem, just going on your mannerisms, how you've been quite chill. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you like sort of roll with the criticism, but maybe you've got a fiery side. I don't know.
I think it entirely depends on who it's coming from. I think like...
Well, are you married?
I'm married. Long-term? Yeah, yeah.
Kids?
Yeah, no kids, but I'm married.
So how long have you been married?
I had a lockdown wedding, so I got married.
I was going to say you
September.
Smiled when you said married, like it was like a recent memory. That's so cute.
We just got the photos through. It's fresh, you know. It's
nice, congratulations! Well,
Thank you. Darling. Yeah, everything that everyone's been warning me about hasn't happened yet. So
no. Still got another year. Enjoy.
But yeah, no, I think. But like, you know, having said that, I think I take it way worse when I get a criticism from my wife.
Right, like, interesting.
Because you know, with everyone else, you're sort of like, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were saying about before. When someone criticizes you, it hurts. But, you know, actually, there's levels to it, right? So if it's a stranger, a lot of the time I'm like, okay, like, your opinion's fine, but you don't know me. It's cool. But when my wife's like, I think you're a little bit judgy. I'm like, no, I'm not. You're judgy. Leave me alone.
And what about like, what about if you're like, cause Lindsay, bless her, she's the whole time my audience. I'm gonna do a routine about what do you think of this?
Yeah.
And if Lindsay Black, don't do that, it's to you think about how it might be perceived. It sounds wrong. This is how it comes off. I really listen. Like, she's my first audience. She's my favorite person to make laugh. It's why we got married. You know, yeah. Personalities click. And so if she thinks it's not funny, I just think probably isn't funny. Unless she doesn't get the reference, and then I explain it, and then there'll be a laugh a few minutes later. But how are you if you go, right, I want to try something at a Banana Cabaret. It's this about our wedding.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't find that funny. I think it's a bit obvious. Would you take that bad or?
Yeah.
Well?
No. I would definitely take it on. But the thing is with Jazz, like, sometimes she doesn't.
Wait a minute, your wife's called Jazz?
Yeah.
That's fucking ace. What an ace name that is.
Yeah, yeah. Jaspreet. Jazz, you know, because I know her now. I can call her that. But she...
I thought she was just really good at improvising.
I'm going to give her a saxophone and see what happens. could make for a nice lockdown treat.
That was your wedding music. It was just her going...
Why haven't we done this yet?
Oh, I don't know. You can use that on stage because I can't. I'll be cancelled.
I think I definitely.
You would take intellect, like work based. What about if it's.
Yeah.
Who's the tidy one out of you? Who's the tidy freak out of the two?
100%, right. Yeah.
So if you've done your best and she does a, babe, you've still left shit in the sink, is that one you wouldn't be able to take?
Oh my God. I think that's 90% of our fights. I think that's 90%. Yeah, I think on, like, you know, personality wise, we're so, like, we're really compatible, so nice. as soon as it comes to the dishes, I'm like, oh my God, I hate you. I hate you so much. Like, and it's totally my fault. Like, when I look at it objectively, I think guys sometimes are like, we just let ourselves off. So I'm very critical about my work, but then when it comes to the dishes, I'm like, mate, you've had the night off. Don't worry about it. Leave it till tomorrow. And so on and so forth until Jazz goes, have you done the dishes?
And you can't take that criticism. And then I'm like, you're in the wrong. Well, that's bad, isn't it? That's bad. It's really bad. You even know you're in the wrong. So let's go to Ola and find out. Are you currently in a, are you married, Ola?
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah, I'm married to the American.
That's it, of course. Yeah. That's right. That's of course. I remember now. So, Ola, you're married to an American, and they're sort of very vocal. They want to tell you, not in a confrontational way, what's wrong. So how do you, are you any, I mean, you got the same sort of mannerisms as my missus, so I think I know what the answer is going to be here, but how do you take criticism, or rather what I should say, which karate move do you use in response?
So with me, like, I'm not even gonna lie, I don't take criticism at all from anybody. I don't like it.
Well, no one saw it coming, including Poirot.
Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. I really don't see it. But I think he's kind of like learned. So when he criticizes me, he'll be like, babe, your outfit is not really a problem, but you look beautiful. You're a gorgeous woman, but your outfit. But so he'll criticize, but he'll top it off with a compliment. Like, yeah, fucking get that compliment before I spark you out. So that's a kind of like, that's how it works.
It's but that is a classic problem. Do you ever come down the stairs, if you've got stairs, not everyone's got stairs, check your privilege, Russell. Do you ever enter the room and do you ever enter the room and go, what do you think? Does this look all right? What are you expecting? A lie if I don't think it looks all right? Do you actually want falsehoods from your husband?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah, I 100% do. Of course I do.
Fuck's sake.
100% I do. Do you know what? Even, wow. I think, I don't quote me if there's any Muslims who want to counsel me. But I think even from an Islamic point of view, like, you're not allowed to lie, but there are some situations where you are allowed to lie. And I think one of the situations, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't want no Wahhabis or ISIS people like coming at me after this, but if you think your truth is going to offend someone, you are allowed to lie. So in,
have you just made that up, or is that actual from the book?
I think I might have made that up.
I have got a translated Quran, so I will be checking.
Don't let anyone catch you with that.
Lindsay walked in and I was reading it. She's like, what's going on? I was like, no, I just thought I wanted to, know what everyone was talking about. It's a cracking
story. I've
seen
it in the news a lot.
And I'm thinking, I'm sure I've not read, don't comment on a woman's dress if it'll offend you. as like an immutable holy law.
It should be.
So Damon, we didn't ask you how your missus responds to criticism then. If Jazz comes down, it's the first date night out. Outdoor dining is we were recording this in spring 2021, just before outdoor dining is about to start in the middle of April. Wow. You get a place in one of the marquees, vented at the side, it's all safe, it's all good. She comes down. You hate what she's wearing. It just doesn't make her look hot. You want to fancy her because it's going to be a cracking night out. And she says, do you like this?
Yeah.
Mouth shut, mouth open.
Mouth zipped shut. What a way to kill the atmosphere. I mean, you're
correct
saying, you want to fancy her. Mate, there's not going to be an evening for me to fancy her on if I say anything otherwise. But having said that, Jazz is way better at taking criticism than I am. And also, I think she also comes in with a sort of like, do you like this? Is it a bit? I feel like it's a bit. And then, if she gives me a little string to pull on, like,
that could be a trick, though. That can be sometimes a trick string. So Lindsay will come down. She go, I'm just not sure about these jeans. Everything I've been eating, I'm just not feeling myself. They do make me look a bit. And it's a trick. It's a fucking trick.
And you chime in with
perfect. Do
not
finish that sentence. That will be the last sentence you finish with the teeth in your head. Trust me. It's a trick string.
Oh my gosh. Well,
the old trick string.
It is a trick string sometimes. But I think, do you know what? Sometimes you got to pull it in check.
Yeah, mate.
You got to pull it in check. But it's got to be at the right time. It's definitely not happening on date night.
I didn't ask Ola about sort of critical feedback with your creative pursuits. We know Dan's quite, if his missus wasn't fond of a joke, he would like that. Probably if we were backstage and you came and asked me, Russ, what do you think of that routine? I'm guessing you're looking for real feedback. 100%. If I thought the structure was off or something. Mm-hmm. What are you like with creative feedback, Ola? Are you just it's quite, I don't want to use the word fiery, but you are quite, you're just like my wife's son, you know.
Am I your wife?
Sorry, you know, not yet. Damn it. I'm only on chapter 5, let me finish. No, but are you, how good are you at responding and adapting creatively or vocationally in your, in the, in your pharmaceutical life to a feedback loop that has criticism in it? Because I find you are successful, but that people become even more successful once they can listen to that objectively without it hurting them, without that butt hurt feeling. If you can get that feeling out of your guts when you read that Guardian, well, not the Guardian review. Sometimes it is shit where someone's just not got you. But sometimes someone's trying to get your back for you. And if you're too fiery, you won't get that back cover.
I think it's the same as what Dan said. It depends who it comes from. So gotcha. If it's like from someone that, you know, again, you have to give me that. No, I'm coming across as an arrogant twat, but you have to give me that praise first. Criticize me, but absolutely, back it up with something else. And it depends who it's from. But if the criticism, I warrant it as, no, I don't take that at all. Then, I think I challenge it a little bit. Why is it not funny?
What about this context, which we're all guilty of? You don't need, this isn't about comedians, guys, listening to this. It's whatever you're doing, whether you're a teacher, pharmacist, whether you're an architect presenting a vision, whether you're a builder showing the plans, and you know when you think you've nailed it and you're showing it to someone because all you secretly want them to do is a confirmatory, yes, you're a genius.
Yeah.
So you're not, your mind's closed. You think you've smashed it. And you're going to someone who normally says, yes, you've smashed it. But on this occasion, they're like, I'm going to be honest with you. Great top level idea. There's your compliment. But blah, A, B, C, D. I really would worry about that. You need to look at that. Can you get out of your preset mindset that it's the bollocks?
I'll be like, oh, okay, I see where you're coming from, but your set last week, if you don't mind me bringing it up.
Yeah.
You would. What about you, Damon? I don't surround myself with yes people.
No.
Obviously, I've been in the game a bit longer than you guys, and the further you get up the tree in this game, the more people want to tell you you're great. And that is one of the most dangerous drugs, a yes drug, because your comedy, it doesn't have to be comedy listening to this, guys. Whatever you're freaking doing, being chiseled by people that can lift you and push you and spike you further is a very important part of the process. The more successful you come, the more yes men you come, and then you end up making mistakes, Piers Morgan type mistakes, because someone, people haven't got your back with a no, chill out.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what? I think for that reason, it's important to have like a circle of trust.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You've got to have those four, maybe, I don't know, two, three, four people who you're just, they just back you. But when I say they back you, they back the truth. So if you're doing something shit, they're going to be like, listen, man, like, you know, I think you're good, but this, I think it's going to hit wrong. It's not going to, it's not going to land.
I 100% agree with that. I think that you should have set people, because like I can take criticism from my brothers, I can take criticism from my sister, from my parents, and from a very specific circle of friends. And I don't mind, because I know they're doing it because they genuinely care about me and want me to do good. But then you start going down the line and you get people that respond where like you have like some random Sam123 #3 on Twitter, like, oh, that was shit because of blah blah blah. If you're going to start listening to everybody's criticism, like you'll literally not get anywhere. Yeah. So you've got to pick and choose who you take that advice from.
You've got to be so like, it's difficult sometimes as well not to listen to unnecessary negative criticism, especially when you put something online.
Oh, I like, love you know, it. Oh, do you know what? Let me tell you something, Dan. And you're honestly, I've only been doing this for 2 years, so nothing compared to you, Russell. But I swear to God, I used to love the praise I used to get from people. But now I fucking love the trolls. Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, if you can use it as fuel. I think it was Ant Middleton who's in a bad place at the moment because of something he said. And he's done an interview with someone who I think is amazing called Stephen Bartlett, who's this £300 million millionaire, 28 years old, comes from, born in Botswana, grew up in Motside. The guy's a fucking just an inspirational so character, cool. 28. And he had Ant Middleton on because he's got an open mind. He wanted to hear his side of the story. And without going into what Ant Middleton said, Ant was like, when something negative happens to you, it's all right to channel it, like Ola was describing, as long as you're using it to push towards a positive. Mm. And I thought that's such a profound thought, because some people might listen to what you're saying and embrace the negative without the second part of the process, which is the propulsive part of you that can push you towards achievement. So you've turned it into fuel. That's the way to go. I'll give you an example of someone coming up to me and saying something quite full on.
Go on.
That I chose to listen to. I won't name the person because I don't want to embarrass them. It is a comedian, relatively high profile. And at the time, I just started dating Lindsay as well. And obviously Lindsay was like, why are you wearing eyeliner for? You look like a fucking bellend. Sort your line. You're a good looking lad. Sort your hair out. But I just thought, where I come from, you're not allowed to express yourself. You have to just look like everyone else. So I was enjoying showing off. I thought that's what we got into the business for. Yeah. And someone tugged me aside. Someone I'm friendly with, not in the circle of trust, not a mate, and just said, you need to stop all of the trying to look like Noel Fielding stuff. People are talking about you. You shouldn't have lied about your age, because if you lie about your age and you're on stage being authentic, my mum this and my dad that, but you're being inauthentic in the way you dress, it looks like you're showing off for attention and lying about your age, it puts a question mark over the authenticity of your comedy. And that's what people are saying. And I was like, fucking thanks, man. Next day, I'll change my management. I changed my whole life off the back of that insight. I was already obviously doing well. I was doing well critically. Like, I'd won all the Edinburgh Awards and I was doing nice 300 to 500 seaters and I was loving life, doing lots of telly. But then it went once, because the reality was the British public didn't sort of thought, why did you go from normal guy with sweet hair talking about his mum and dad to sort of trying to be Russell Brand? Once I realised that's how I was being perceived and that it was damaging my income, because I'm working class and that's all I care about. Can I put food on the table? Can I be successful? It was a light bulb moment. But it was a brave thing for that person to say that to me.
And you appreciated it.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
Just as brave of you to accept it, especially if you weren't that close.
This is what I mean, is you have to have your ears open. And sometimes you need to think, is there anything in that person, what that person said? Because at the end of it is, I don't know what you're in this for. I mean, obviously for being laughed at and creative fulfillment and egomaniac, like anyone who does this for a living. The other side of it is I come from a poor family and I want to be the badass one of my family and earn dollar. And that was getting in the way. Anyway, that was my little personal story. I don't want to run out of time before I've asked you this question. I really, really want to know, because we're a sort of mix of cultural backgrounds today and I'm dead nosy, so I love that. It's not because I'm some raging lefty, I'm just a nosy fucker and love to learn what people do and how they're brought up and if there's any differences to how I was brought up. Judgmental and critique in the house with you, Damon, was it a mum or a dad? I'm taking it you grew up in a mum dad household. Yeah, undivorced. Yeah. So what's the setup there? Laid back dad, hypercritical dad, laid back mum, hypercritical mum.
My dad's super laid back. Super laid back guy. Mum was sort of more the, you know, more hyper. I don't know if hyper is the word to use. Sorry, mum. But mum was the more, sort of, yeah, that took that role on to be more, I don't know, connected to everyone. But then also it meant that she was probably the one who was more, if we're going to use, you know, talking about judgment and critique, she was doing more of it.
Constructively critical, if you don't consent someone that does not want to get in trouble with their mum after this podcast, so I'll let you off. Okay, did you do a degree? Did you go uni?
I did, yeah. Sheffield.
What degree did you do? Of course, sorry.
Economics.
So you say to your mum and dad, I'm not going to be an economist. I'm not going to work in banking. I'm going to be a stand-up. Talk me through.
Mum was like,
"Who kicks off?"
Mum was like, "Do what you want. Listen, as long as you've got a job and you do a degree, do what you want." So it wasn't like,
"Was your dad like, I laugh at you every day anyway? get out of my house."
Yeah, the dad. Yeah, exactly. Dad was like, "Listen, man, just paint me in a good light, and we'll be fine."
And what's your? Do you have a religious background at all?
Yeah, so I'm Sikh. I'm Sikh by religion. So
and is there a cultural thread? So like, I come from an Essex family, so we've got sort of alpha male dads who will judge you by what car you've got, how big your Rolex is, and that runs broadly across Essex masculinity. Yeah. So I wondered across Sikh masculinity and matriarchy if there's any themes that you experienced.
I think that there are. I think I've been lucky personally because my dad's super like, I wouldn't say he's like massively expressive or anything like that, but equally he's not trying to be super masculine. He's not trying to like, you know, pretend to be a know-it-all or anything like that. Whereas that is quite prevalent, I feel, in South Asian families where you've got this dad who's like the breadwinner, and then he watches TV, and then you talk to him on the weekend, and that's it. Whereas with my dad, he was always really, really chill. He used to drive me to school. We used to have really frank conversations just between ourselves.
And is that a thing, sort of chilled Sikh dads and active mums? Like, because in Jewish culture, that's a fucking thing a lot of the time. They're like full on Jewish mum and the chilled dad in the background going, you know, I can't hack it.
Yeah. I mean, look, in my household, for sure. And I think the sort of like more active social mum is a massive cultural trend amongst Sikhs. Like,
you're married to Jazz. You've married your mother. You do realise that.
Oh, no.
All men do. Yeah. My mum's an energetic pepper army with brown hair that runs around and never stops talking. I'm the same as her, and I've married one that's even more. So I'm going to ask you the same question. What was your family life growing up? Who was there, is, you know, was it a dad that was critical? Was it mum, or was dad more out of that situation? Was mum more in it? What, talk us through.
I think like the kind of community that I come from, and I think Daman, maybe you could kind of like relate to this, that we're very much, we care what the community say. So not only are you getting judged by your parents are also worried about what the community are going to say about you.
So it's like a House of Lords judging the House of Commons.
Probably worse than that. I'm talking about like UN level. so it is really, really difficult. And like my mum found out I was doing comedy via WhatsApp. Like WhatsApp is a big thing in our community. They're so stupid. Like they believe everything they see. And someone must have seen something, WhatsApped it to someone, and then through a fourth or fifth party, because my mom doesn't have social media, so she was like really unhappy about it. She was like, you have to stop this now, or you know, this is the end, you know, we're not going to have a relationship. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll stop doing comedy. And that's why, thank God, my mom doesn't have Instagram, Facebook, and she doesn't have English TV anymore, so there's no fucking way she'll ever find out I still do it. I'm still going to work a full-time job. And I'm also pretty much doing comedy full time now. So I know it's going to get to the point, and it is kind of getting to that point where I'm going to have a meltdown, because to balance a full time job and comedy,
you will do stand up. You can see it coming. It's what happened to me in 2006. So I come from a work class family. I didn't even have an A level, had a degree, got a posh job in an ad agency, and I left it. That did not go down well.
No, I'm actually like trying to picture telling my mum I'm going to do full time comedy.
Just tweet her. Oh, you can't. So, Ola, sorry to cut you off mid float. We are out of time. Please don't judge me, babe, or critique me. thanks so much for joining me. It's actually really, really enlightening. So, thank you very much for your honesty, and really, really good luck to both of you when the theatres and everything reopen. I can't wait to actually bump into you in dressing rooms. physically bump without her going to wash an anti-back afterwards. So thank you very much to my panel, Damon Bamra and Ola Labib. Thank you very much. I've been Russell Kane. This has been Boys Don't Cry. Hit subscribe, hit like. We may go for a short break now, but we will be back within a few weeks. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.